Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heart strength that plays on.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's up, everybody? Well, a little sad news on Tuesday with the passing of Roy Halladay, the baseball player, started with Toronto, played for the Phillies. Great pitcher, great guy, and obviously very sad. Our condolences go out. And, of course, markets continue to be uneventful. Very little action, very little to think about. Nothing really of any true excitement. We continue to be in this malaise of really nothing happening. When you look at the bigger picture, I think you see a market that is kind of saying, well, all right, we're here, and what we're waiting for is we're waiting for a reason to sell off, and until you give us that reason, we're going to sit here and kind of drift around. I think that's exactly what's happening. We've seen a couple of attempts or a couple of reasons that the markets could possibly sell off, and on Tuesday, we had the triple Indy, the trifecta, which was the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, all opened or traded at record highs, and at one point were all lower. Now you could make an argument for the Dow that it was lower as well, but the actual Dow Jones Industrial Index, the cash market, was a little bit higher. The futures market was lower. So you could make that argument that they all reversed. But I think the bigger story is really more of the Russell. After all, the Russell continues to get clobbered and is now, the IWM, which would be the representative of the Russell, is now down to 147 after being 151 just a couple of days ago. So that would be another reason or something else to take a look at. Is this going to be, and again, we're not going to predict the next big market move. Excuse me. We're just going to say that it's going to happen. But to try to pick the time is, again, as we've said many, many times, pretty ridiculous, because trying to time out a market is near impossible. Now, there's, again, a lot of reasons to believe. We saw the banks get hammered. We've seen, a lot going on. But I think as I've started to believe over the last few weeks, it may be the tax plan that will be the downfall of this market. First of all, as you look deeper into it, the tax plan sucks. So that's number one. It's not what I would call a fair and equitable program. It's not what I would call something that I think we would, can really gain the traction that we're being promised. Of course, that is based on the fact that it even potentially passes. Do we think it's going to pass? It's hard to do anything in the swamp. And of course, it's certainly even harder when your name is Donald Trump. So I don't know where we're going to end up. I don't know what's going to go, but I do know that we have a market that does not look great. We've got some key warning signs besides the reversal, and we've got the Russell, which does not look good. So you could see very easily a market reversal. But again, you know, you can't really try to time it. And as long as the volume remains pathetically light, there doesn't seem to be a real reason to try to jump in and do anything in here. And I think that's something that the bigger lesson to learn now is that patience and observation are also a position. So to try to say, well, this is it, you know, again, it probably isn't. You know, there's more work that needs to be done in many of the markets. But, you know, again, there are some warning signs now being posted, but we're not going to, you know, just go ahead and you know, say that is it, that the time is now. And, you know, we are now winding down out of our earnings season and winding into the end of the year, which historically is more bullish. And this is not the same historic of sell and may go away, which is a bunch of crap. This is actually this time of year creates some buyers, a lot of squaring of positions, a lot of guys who weren't in trying to get in. And so we get that type of rally usually almost every year. And, you know, I think that, you know, as you look at it, you just want to say, you know, okay, it is what it is. And I don't believe that right now would be a time to create anything with any aggression whatsoever. This is not a market that will forgive aggressive trading when wrong. And that is the biggest thing we're looking for, is for a market that will forgive us for our sins, right? You know, that what we're looking for is a market that gives us opportunity even when we're wrong. Not a market that gives us no opportunity under any circumstances, which is the kind of market we have right now. So I say to you that, you know, you're much better off just kind of hanging and not getting too involved, because if you get too involved, you get caught up in some of the BS that will not work for you and probably not make you real happy at the end of the day. I think, you know, we far too often try to be smarter and outsmart the market, not realizing that the market itself cannot be outsmarted. So, I mean, the market itself is an inanimate object. It's controlled by a bunch of animation, but the actual participants, the actual market itself is an inanimate thing. So we need to be very careful in here as we wait for the markets to kind of decide what they're going to do next, so that we can decide from what the markets decide. And that's kind of where our focus always is we want to decide after the market and try to find a way to participate with that same market. Okay. So anyways, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you about highschoolinvesting.com. Do me a favor and go check it out. We're looking for some help. We've got, you know, we've been educating high school kids for 6 years now, and I, of course, I've footed the bill, and I need a little help now to continue the program. And if you'd go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you can help out with a donation. And of course, for you helping me, I'll help you, and we'll do a special webinar. But in the meantime, you know, check out also libertytalk.fm. That is my station, and that's where you can go to download the Bubba Show every day and the Sporting Edge, and also see much of the other content that we provide. You know, always great stuff. And of course, BubbaTrading.com, you can get signed up for Bubba's Daily Update. And of course, that's free. And I want to make sure that you get what I'm doing and try to keep you informed of what the markets are going to do every day. So in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break and come back. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you wait back for me for Bubba. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back after the break. The November the 9th. And, you know, I love looking at things. And of course, you know, they're making a big deal about Snapchat right now. Snap, Sierra November, Alpha Papa. that get clobbered on earnings, reversed on rumors or fact that Tencent was going to buy in. And I guess the question is, if it's a dog company before, why would I expect it not to be a dog company now? Okay. I don't think it was a good IPO from the beginning. I thought it was overpriced in the beginning, and I said so here. So why? Because Tencent is having, is Tencent all of a sudden become, make the commodity valuable? I would think not. So, you know, again, you know, is it potentially going to be profitable? Yeah, it's all, anything's always possible, but it doesn't look very good, and they don't really have anything unique that would make it, you know, that would make it want to be, you know, successful. But of course, you know, we continue to live through the battles of what the Clintons are doing and what's going on there. And I guess my question is where is Jeff Sessions? Why is Jeff Sessions not involved here? And why is he not refiling on Hillary Clinton now? Okay. You know, she got her pass, but all these things continue to mount. So where is the Attorney General, Mr. Sessions, and why is he not doing something about this? You know, I don't understand how the very wealthy always manage to slither on out. Okay. You know, you heard what Donna Brazile has had to say, and none of it's too glowing. Now, again, I'm sure she's got some guilt in there as well. You know, what has happened at the with the party is not something not something that, you know, that we should, you know, not have ever figured before. I mean, these things happen all the time, and of course people change allegiances depending on how it suits them. And you know, but you know, it's a shame that, you know, the Clintons and others, and again, I'm going to clear something up right now. The uranium deal, okay, yes, it was horrible. And yes, the Clintons benefited greatly on it. However, many of the Republicans knew about what was going on as well. And obviously, they had their own benefits to gain as well. So it wasn't like they were so innocent and it just happened behind their back. They were fully aware it was going on as well. And I think that's something that, you know, we have to always kind of remember, again, about the swamp, about the kind of business they do up in Washington, D.C. You know, nobody is as innocent as appeared, but most are usually more guilty than they appear. You know, it's like they just got caught. And that's something that, you know, again, we need to stay on top of, is, you know, the overall views of what's going on and why these things happen. I think that, you know, the biggest thing that you want to understand is that, you know, nobody in that town is completely innocent, and they all have a little bit of larceny in their heart as long as it benefits them or their constituents. So again, I don't think anybody is totally on the innocent side by themselves, and I think that's something that we always have to remember as well. Is, you know, where and when and why, or who, what, where, when, and why, and then how does it play out? And to me, I think that's just another basic issue of how this whole thing is a mess, and why. That, you know, that we need to, as we say, drain the swamp and get rid of these bums because of just these reasons. You know, I mean, you know, everybody knew about Harvey Weinstein, whatever his name is. You know, it's not like nobody knows about these things that are going on. All right. But of course, their concern is if they're getting the money, they're not really worried about what happens to innocent people. Because all I want to do is make sure they get theirs and get their cash. And that's, again, it's a sad story, but it does come down to, like everything else, it comes down to the money. It comes down to the money. And that's the whole issue. that we need to worry about. And of course, the new story out is Charlie Sheen. But, you know, I guess they say that money makes a great deodorant. And, you know, many people will ignore things forever because of the money. And, you know, look, again, I do not agree with it. I think it stinks. I think it's bad. But that's what you're seeing. And that's pretty typical throughout society, not just in D.C., but everywhere. You know, as they say, money makes a great deodorant, and that's what they do. And that's kind of even what you're seeing with the equity markets right now. You know, I mean, you know, we can talk about how good or bad things are. We can talk about all of the different issues that are out there. But because people are making money, they're not making a stink about it. Because, again, you know, we've seen many reasons where the markets should have broken a little bit, okay, and they barely reacted. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, again, you don't think in D.C., I mean, listen, the Senate and House, they've got exclusions on sexual assault. They don't get prosecuted for that. So that's an issue that, again, it comes back down to can you buy them out? Or can you pay somebody off? And that's really an unfortunate situation. But this is what's been, and this is not like just last week. This has been going on since the beginning of time. And, you know, it's just, what are you trading for that? And those are the things that become, I think, overwhelming issues that I don't think that should be ignored. And certainly I wouldn't ignore them. But they do, because they're holier than thou, and, you know, they don't really care. And I think that is kind of the attitude that we have pretty much, you know, where a lot of the people of power, you know, get away with things just like that because of the money. I mean, is what Bill Clinton did any different? And I'm not picking on Clinton just because Clinton. I mean, you know, we don't know as much about guys earlier in office because there wasn't as much media. There wasn't as much coverage. You know, now, if you burp or fart, if you burp or fart, they got a press release out, and it's on Twitter already. So, you know, again, those are things that, you know, are issues and problems. And, you know, again, there's not much we can do about it unless you know about it. And if you know about it, you can do something about it. But that unfortunately leads into the things that we also cover up or don't talk about when it does become, you know, to some of these terror attacks that people did kind of have an idea or should have reported something. So, you know, hey, that's what we've got. We've got to deal with it. We've got to do better. And it should, these are things that should not happen. Okay. But they do. And we've got to obviously do better to make them not. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. And of course, you know, I'm going to talk about my high school investing program. You know, I continue to try to educate the youth of America, and actually I'd like to do it worldwide. But of course, it takes capital to do that. And we're, you know, we've been doing it for 6 years and with no funding, just me. And now we do need a little bit of funding. So if you would like to help out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. We're looking for some donations. And of course, there are some levels of donations that get you a monthly webinar and some other things that go along with it. So go ahead and check it out if you can. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day from libertytalk.fm. You can also get the Sporting Edge there. And of course, the Bubba's Daily Update has been, first of all, it's really a good piece. If I do say so myself, because I do it, but it's really a good piece, number one. And number two, it's informative and it's free. So all you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and download and just fill out the link. You don't have to download anything. Just fill out the link. It's free. You will get it sent to your inbox every single day. And then you'll get my 30-minute show on the weekends. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bo Horowitz. We're going to step out of a break and come back with Rural Rally Radio and talk about some of the farm and ag products. The Bubba Show. Todd Bo Horowitz will be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
That whistle is 10 o'clock. Don't let it go.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you, and we're going to go visit our buddy Marlon Bowling from Rural Rally Radio and RFD TV. Right now, he's going to interview me. Here we go.
Expect today on a Wednesday by going to Chicago and visiting with Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com. Todd, it's an honor. How are you?
It's great to be here, Marlon, but it's colder. You don't want to come to Chicago. Let me come to Nashville, baby.
It's not even that warm here today. It's a little bit nippy outside. What's going on in Chicago?
The markets are, basically sound asleep right now. They're, very somber. There's not a lot going on. There's, they're waiting, possibly for tomorrow, to see what the report's going to bring out. I don't see anything coming out of the report. I see no action going into the report. I think we're going to continue in this, what we'll call malaise of trading and kind of churning around these levels. We're basically still within the ranges across the board. Soybeans between 985 and 10, and we can't quite punch through that 10 in the January contract. Corn, like around 345 to 355, and wheat, somewhere about, 420, 422 to 430, 435. So they haven't really changed. If you go back and look, we've been in these patterns for months already, and there's no real purpose for them to break out from here. And again, a lot of that will come. It needs, what we need is an infuse of new money, which I don't think will come until the equity market starts to break a little bit.
When you look at the corn market, have we moved most of the volume out of December yet, or is that still the most popular month?
It's still the active month, and it's starting to shake, but it's still top. We've still got in December 21 days ahead to go. Okay, so we're trading. If you look at yesterday's volume, about 50% more is still trading in December. But it's close. I mean, you could certainly, if I were going to buy, which that's what I will be doing when it's time, when I feel like getting back in, I will be a buyer, and I will go to buy in March when I do come back to, as with new money to buy positions, because I think that's where we're headed to. And of course, I'd like to be able to hold on the longer. I believe that these grains are going to be much higher. I actually targeted much higher prices, coming into the fourth quarter here, but that doesn't look like it's going to materialize. We've kind of gone into a straight sleeping pattern with very little action on a daily basis.
Don't you have the feeling that the trade is kind of positioning itself with a negative bias heading into the report here, expecting to see a higher yield estimate from USDA, and the market's just kind of sliding into the finish line ahead of the report?
It could possibly be. That's a possibility, but there really hasn't been. One of the things you look at, Marla, I look at money flow and I look at volume, and volume has been pretty pathetic. So it's not like I want to say it's going to really happen here. There doesn't look to be a big commitment. I do think some are short, which I think what will happen, that may be the thing that will help us get going, is a little bit of a short squeeze to start. But basically, if you go back to around the end of August, okay, and we're in November, we've been in the same range for that long in corn. We have not moved more than 10 cents up or down in that, from the center of that range since. And we're right now again at the bottom of the range, but the volume was pretty moderate, a little heavier yesterday, but still not what you would call real great volume. So I'm not sure that anybody's really making a commitment. I think you'll get them caught leaning short, and if there's any bullish news whatsoever, you could get a short squeeze out of it.
With that dollar hovering around 95, do you think that's pressuring the wheat trade?
I do not. I do not believe at this particular time. They are correlated over a longer term, but in the short term here, I don't think that it's really pressuring wheat. I think wheat is being pressured because nobody cares and they want to sell something, they just keep selling away. The dollar itself is probably going, I think, a lot higher. I think the dollar's probably going to get back to a dollar. And I think that, but I think everybody's finally realized that this is just a bunch of manipulation by the central banks around the world, and they kind of take turns weakening and strengthening their own currencies. And, you know, we did not see one benefit, Marlon, as the dollar came down from 104 all the way down to 91. We saw no benefit in the grain markets. In fact, the grain markets went lower throughout that entire period.
You know, it's like the corn and wheat are trying to outdo each other and who can be the flattest, you know, have the least excitement. On the other hand, you know, soybeans have just kind of gone under the radar, but they have not broken an uptrend that goes all the way back to early August.
That is correct. They actually, soybeans bottomed at 921, and of course they have been in a nice uptrend, and they've had a, you know, a number of weeks up in a row, and they look solid. But the key will become, again, 10 bucks. If they can get through 10 bucks and hold, then they look like they want to go a little bit higher. You know, we want to watch that 985 on the downside. And we've really been just churning between those areas. But you are correct. That is a very good observation that the beans have been an uptrend. And that was the, at the time, that was what everybody was the most bearish. And that's where all the sellers were in the beans. And of course, all of a sudden they decided, okay, well, we don't have to be so bearish here. They're going up. And that's kind of what you're seeing.
Interesting. All right, we'll bring you back here in just a little bit, and we'll talk about more markets, including the livestock trade, too. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. Talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. I want to focus a little bit here on this livestock trade. Yesterday, a mixed decision as we headed into the close. Live cattle had some weakness on the nearby contracts. Actually, we had deferreds firming up just a little bit as they narrowed up that spread about a dollar or so. Feeder cattle trade was lower across the board, led by the deferreds. I thought that was interesting. They led the way down. And then lean hog trade, we were lower across the board. The most weakness in February there. I did see where on the box beef cutout values yesterday afternoon, up a whopping $2.07 on choice cuts yesterday afternoon. Selects were up $2.99. So how is it that the trade weakened up, even with the wholesale beef trade still on fire out there, Todd?
Well, I mean, you know, look at where we are price wise. We've gone basically straight up. I mean, you know, at some point it has to meet the rubber underneath the road, and we're going to see a little bit of turnaround. And I just think that this is the start of some fairly heavy selling that we're going to start to see going forward. I think that we've gotten way too far ahead of where we should be, especially in the feeder market. I think fats probably are going to see I'd say under 120 again fairly soon. I think you're going to see some weakness. Now, it doesn't mean there won't be some rallies in between, but I would expect to see more of the type of action we've seen the last couple of days, which is taking some sell-offs. You know, we had what we call blow-off patterns at the end of last week on both fats and feeders, and they were, you know, those are unsustainable types of rallies. You know, you don't want to see those gigantic rallies unless you're already long and you're looking to get out, and then you can get out on those. But when you have these monster push-ups that are basically driven by emotion, they aren't typically will not hold, and I don't expect this time to be different. I expect to see feeders go back below 150, and I expect to see fats go back below 120, in which case I would then look to be a buyer.
Okay, how is the packer profit these days on the beef side? Have you heard lately?
I've heard they're doing very well. And of course, that's one of the things that goes on in this business and in this market. You know, they've got some edges to deal with. And of course, the markets get carried away and they'll hold off, which is part of the reason that we see some of these propelled rallies, because people have to chase them down. And that is a big problem as well. And that's kind of what you see when the board and when everybody gets out of whack a little bit, you then see this massive chase after it, because again, that's kind of how it works. And that's how the markets function. And that's when you can tell that we are reaching a pinnacle, or in this case, I think a temporary top.
What about on the hog side of things here, where they've been sliding quite a bit here since about a week ago at this time? Do you hold out much hope that they'll get some traction or not?
No, I don't think so. I think that they'll, you know, I've been looking for the 58 level or so to come back into play, and I think that's where we're going to end up headed. I would not be surprised.
No, wait a minute. You said 58? Is that December?
Yeah, December. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's quite a ways down. Yeah. That's $6.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where we're going. I mean, you know, I thought that, you know, they were good sale up around 68, and I think they go back to 58. Now, again, I'm over longer term, I'm looking to be a buyer, but I think now we get this last pullback in December, and I think that sets up for a better first and second quarter next year. I think that's what I'm really looking at. I don't see the exuberance that we've had here. And of course, you know, hogs were kind of like feeders, and they were just going straight up, straight up, straight up. And now they've started to go straight down. And that's kind of when you get that kind of action that is relentless, typically it will turn and go the other way, which is, I think, what we're seeing right now.
How does that fit in with seasonal tendencies?
Well, I mean, seasonally, we're typically weak in December anyway. So, you know, we've been actually, based on the last couple of years, we were very strong. Last December, I think we were at 39. So this December, we were at 68. So that's a pretty big difference year over year.
All right. Anything that we need to be aware of to watch in the financial markets today?
Yeah, I think there is something. I think we had an interesting day yesterday. We had what we call a very, very bearish patterns appeared. Now, it doesn't mean they've appeared before, but this is the first time, I think, 18 years. The S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ futures all made new intraday highs and then closed lower on the day in the futures side. That's a pretty bearish sign. And if you tie in the Russell, which got clobbered again, and the Russell's down about 4% in the last few days, that would indicate there might be some selling here. And if that happens, then that makes me much more bullish the grain markets, because again, I think that money will then flow into the grains. And I think that you got to watch oil. Oil had a blow off top. I think that should start to work its way a little bit lower. And I think that's really what it in the financials. I mean, interest rates are still going to be the story. And I think the tax plan is going to fail.
And at last check, West Texas crude was around $57, and we had that, the ultra-low sulfur diesel, or the heating oil market in New York, priced around 191.7 or so, so keep that in mind. That really has rallied quite a bit in diesel fuel prices lately. Todd, as always, thank you so much for the advice and the commentary on the markets. Great to visit with you. We'll talk to you again soon. Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We'll be.
And that was our buddy Marlon Bowling from Rural Rally Radio, and that was me talking about the ag markets. And of course, if you've listened to me enough, you know I talk about them all the time. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for break. But don't forget about Liberty Talk, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. And we got a football game coming tonight, so we'll have to do our selection later. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and what's going on? You know, we've had some serious conversation. We talked about some ags. And now, of course, you know, the markets were down once again overnight. And, you know, I don't know. I can say this to you that, you know, as much as we would all like to believe that the markets are going to have a correction, which they will at some point. The question will be when. The question will be what will drive it. The question will be a lot of questions. But in the meantime, I think you make a dramatic mistake when you decide that you want to be smarter than the market and try to muscle the market around. Because one thing we know for sure, if you try to muscle the market, you get your butt whipped. It becomes a much bigger problem for you. Because the markets are always right, and the markets will torture you mercilessly if you think that you're smarter than them, and they will punish you for trying to tell the market where it's supposed to go, because that's not the way that it works, okay? Markets are markets, and they do what they do. And our job is to look for the valid footprint in the market and trade from that footprint and not try to outsmart, outguess, or outthink the market, because it cannot be done. It can be done on an occasion, but it can never be done on a regular basis. And this is where many, many of us fall into these problems with ourselves, because we think that we can outthink and outsharp the market. And I am here to tell you that you can't do it, and you shouldn't try to do it, because what you're going to end up doing is putting yourself in a jackpot and not being able to get yourself the right move and the right make, and you're going to end up getting creamed. And, you know, what I've been talking about for the last few weeks is right now the markets are giving you a test of will. Right. This is a test of will as to what the markets will allow you to do. And if you try to, you know, outsmart these markets, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up losing some dough. And I think that is something that, you know, I always warn everyone, because to me, it's like, well, why do you think you have to be smarter than the market? Just let the market come to you. I think that's the bigger story, is if you allow markets to show you a valid footprint, you will then be a much happier camper and you'll be much more on top of the market when it does happen. And you won't blow your brains out when you're trying to, outsmart the market. And I think that's something that we tend to ignore, is we try to be smarter than the market, and then we run out of funds, and then finally the market does what it's supposed to do. And that's always something that, you know, is a common problem. And, you know, we call it an age-old problem that we all go through, because, again, you know, the especially in today's world, with the easy access to pushing a button to get in versus having to call a broker and, you know, go through the whole thing. And I believe that we end up creating a much bigger mess for ourselves by believing that we can actually be smarter than the market. You know, there's a million reasons why the market should be getting clobbered right now, but at the end of the day, it isn't. It's going up. Now, you know, you had the big bearish signs on Tuesday, and of course Wednesday we rallied. Thursday we're lower. So, you know, it becomes a very interesting type of dynamic, and we had an interesting thing happen in the advisory futures trading service on Wednesday. We had a short position in crude oil, which was against us, and of course we put a stop in, and when the stop got hit, it was actually forming a blow-off pattern. And how do you handle that? Okay. And the real answer is you do a paper entry, transferring your short oil, and you show your losses from the swing trading part of it, and then you enter a new trade. But really what you've done is you've really just changed the stop based on the blow-off pattern. And you're now know that you're getting out as soon as the blow off pattern completes. You're then getting out of the trade. Now, in the case on Wednesday, it would have saved you, you know, about $1 per contract. But it was still not a good trade. But I mean, the blow off trade was a very good trade. But it would have taken you out lower than you would have gotten out by using the stop. But just recognizing, you know, that you have two different methods, and don't confuse the two. So you actually, in your mind or on paper, you make the entry from one to the other. I do it personally on paper just to understand where the money is coming from and how to handle it. But either way, that's what you would have done there, and that's always the problem. Now, again, you know, we see oil. I think now oil has probably peaked. I think that, you know, we should see now some pretty consistent selling. It doesn't mean there will not be rallies in between, but generally I would expect to see some pretty good selling here. I think also what you're going to see is the equities, I think, are going to start to slow down. I don't know that they will break anytime soon, but they will slow down. It's hard to figure we'd have a huge break in end of November, early December, just because of the time of year. You know, we're in a very historically very bullish time of year. And again, it's always kind of hard to figure where it's going to come from. But we usually get what they call the Santa Claus rally at the end of the year. So, again, I mean, look, we'll be ready to trade if it happens. But I would not expect a major increase in volume or volatility in the next, before the end of the year, actually. I think that, you know, again, this is where you just have to use your patience and not let the market get the best of you, but where you get the best of the market. Because, again, this is definitely a test of will and strength, and knowing that the market is always right, and knowing that, you know, it doesn't get sick, it doesn't get tired, it never closes, basically, that we have to be much sharper on what we're doing. You know, your objective should be the slower the business gets, the less you should trade, and the more observant you should be about the right times to trade. Because the markets, when they're going in this type of pattern, are unforgiving and they're relentless. And you've seen this, you know, each and every time we've had that potential spot to maybe sell, we've seen, oops, no, it's not a spot to sell. We're going back up again. So that is something that, you know, again, I urge you to be, you know, much more on top of overall, but it's really being on top of your own personal emotions. Okay. So anyways, as we enter, I guess this is week 10 of the NFL. All right. And we've got still the stuff going on with Ezekiel Elliott, and we've got Jerry Jones wants to make sure that Roger Goodell doesn't get fired. I mean, doesn't get hired again, doesn't get a contract extension. And of course, we've got the big tilt tonight of Arizona, Seattle. And of course, it's not the same as it was because Carson Palmer's hurt. Arizona is 4-4, but not, you know, not as good as you might have thought they were. I was actually supposed to go to this game, but we weren't able to manage it. But in the meantime, I think you can look for Arizona in an upset. I think they win the game. I think they have a chance to win the game straight up. They're getting 6 points. So I'd like to play Arizona tonight. Also, remember that you can download The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, don't forget about my high school investing program. It's highschoolinvesting.com. You can check out the website. In the meantime, we're educating thousands of high school kids and 300 high schools throughout the United States and are trying to get to 30,000. But we need some help. And all you got to do is go to Patreon, patreon.com/Bubba Trading. Again, that's patreon.com/Bubba Trading. And make a little bit of a pledge. And, of course, at certain levels, we give away an autographed copy of my book and as well as a webinar. In the meantime, that'll do it for today, Thursday, November the 9th. This is Todd Bubba Horwitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Enjoy the football game. Enjoy your day. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. See you.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.